If you would please take your Bibles this morning, let's return back over to Galatians chapter 4. And as we turn to Galatians chapter 4 this morning, we are going to consider a passage that may not be the ordinary Christmas passage that all of us would immediately think about. But as we recognize what is actually here, it really helps us to kind of carefully think through how this passage can really give us one of the most joyous Christmases that we could possibly have. Now, this morning's message, as a result of this, has an unusual title, and the title of this morning's message is The Christmas Adoption, A Christmas Adoption. Let's pause together to pray and then dive into this passage, shall we? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for what you have done that we celebrate at Christmas time in adopting us as sons. Help us to rejoice in that. And when we sing joy to the world, Lord, help us to be joyous from our hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Two questions to consider at the beginning of the message. First of all, what's the greatest gift that you have ever been given at Christmas time? Secondly, what is the greatest gift that you could give to someone else at Christmas time? On the corner of 9th Avenue and Bayou Boulevard in Pensacola, Florida, just a few blocks from where I grew up, on a Christmas Eve not long ago, an attorney pulled into the parking lot of the Sacred Heart Hospital. My mother did private duty as a nurse at the Sacred Heart Hospital, as well as Baptist and West Florida Hospital. And so this particular story has a great deal of meaning to me because I know that it would have meant so much to my mother. This attorney pulled into the parking lot on Christmas Eve thinking about how hard her job really was. You see, she was an adoption attorney. And 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days out of the year, people like that are always on duty. Babies don't stop to check the calendar to find out if it's a holiday before they are born. And so this particular attorney pulled into that parking lot, and what's really almost frustrating about that parking lot is that though the hospital would have done a good job with Christmas decorations, all you have to do is just look right across the street, right across 9th Avenue, and right across the street is Cordova Mall, a mall that I watched being built years ago, and it's one of the most festive places in all of Pensacola, Florida. Everybody loves to go to Cordova Mall. And you can imagine what Cordova Mall looked like on Christmas Eve. The restaurants were full as the shoppers rushed home with their treasures, and here was this attorney who was, well, really pitying herself over the fact that she had to work on Christmas Eve and how frustrating that was. She wrote, "But poor, pitiful me, I was relegated to getting about 50 pages of adoption paperwork executed in a hospital. Oh, Christmas joy," she writes rather sarcastically. "Of course, my bad attitude evaporated immediately when I saw the beautiful bundle of joy and the beaming faces of the new parents. The young couple had received the best Christmas present ever, and they did not need a single other gift that holiday. They would not have cared." Now, the really amazing thing about this story is the rest of the story. Because, you see, this potentially adoptive mother, the one who I am telling you about here in the story, the adoptive mother, was a preschool teacher. Imagine how frustrating that would be to be a preschool teacher and yet she wasn't able to have children. She and her husband were not able to have children. And so out on the playground early that December, she was watching the children, monitoring them, and a little girl ran up to her and said, "Teacher, what would you like to have for Christmas?" And so the teacher decided to be honest with her, and she said, "Well, my husband and I would really like to adopt a baby." for Christmas, but that doesn't seem very likely right now. And the little girl said, I will pray for that. And the little girl knelt right down in that Northwest Florida sand, right there on the spot. And she clasped her little hands together and she prayed that her teacher and her husband would be able to adopt a little baby for Christmas. And then the news came. It was a last-minute opportunity. Would the couple be interested in adopting a child on Christmas Eve? And of course, they joyously dashed to the hospital. And as the attorney reflected on that scene, she thought about their beaming faces and the joy that came over them. There is something about an adoption at Christmas time that is even more meaningful than a usual adoption. Just think of it. Here is a child who, maybe this infant doesn't even know it yet, but they have just been given a whole new level of acceptance, a level of belonging. All you have to do, if you're afflicted with dry eyes, all you have to do is go on YouTube and just look up Christmas adoption and see the story of children, sometimes 6 and 7 years of age, and their foster parents are telling them as part of their Christmas gift that they open, we are planning to adopt you. And even the smallest children become speechless. There is something about a Christmas adoption that just causes you to step back and say, isn't the Lord good? I mean, here's this little girl who gets down in the sand and clasps her hands together and prays, and the Lord hears her. In Psalm 8, verse 2, the psalmist said, out of the mouth of babes, the Lord has ordained strength. In fact, the Lord Jesus quoted that very passage when he was criticized. This was right after his triumphal entry, and his critics were criticizing him over what the children were saying about him. And he said, remember, out of the mouth of babes, the Lord has ordained strength. So as we think today about that little girl's prayer and we think about our Christmas adoption, you say Christmas adoption. For those of you online, the manuscript is there. You can go to our website and see that this morning. Christmas adoption. Why a Christmas adoption? Well, according to this passage, look at what it actually says here. It says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son. This is really the blessing of our Christmas adoption. This is when God sent forth his son, with the result that, according to this passage, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You see why I'm referring to that this morning as our Christmas adoption? It's because God sent forth his son in the fullness of time. Now, remember, we looked at a message just 2 or 3 weeks ago that's online now about everything that went into the fullness of time. Last Sunday, as part of our Christmas program, we really focused on the theme of God sent forth his son. And so today we come to this understanding of the blessing of our adoption. Here's the real benefit. This is the real excitement, if you will, the real joy. When you and I begin to realize what it means that our God has adopted us. And if you look down in your Bibles at the last phrase in verse 7, it tells you that we might become heirs of God. That is, that we would receive the inheritance from God. This is all the more astounding because of some of the work that we've done recently. Pastor Rod, they're traveling back today, probably watching us online. Pastor Rod and I together have worked through the book of Daniel. And we've begun to see here's the basis for so many things that we are looking at here that God sent forth his son. This is what we celebrate at Christmas time. You say, well, why would we, what is it about our adoption that should cause us to be so joyous, so zealous, so excited at Christmas time, especially when there are a number of other distractions all around? Well, the passage in Galatians chapter 4 brings to mind a number of other passages. For instance, in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, there it speaks of our adoption. And by the way, it makes this comment that we are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. I've made the comment about that passage more than one time, that it's not all the spiritual blessings that we can think up. It's all the spiritual blessings that God himself can conceive of. If somebody were to ask you, what's the greatest Christmas gift you've ever been given? May I nominate this, your adoption in Christ. What a joy to know that there is a sense of belonging. There is a sense of acceptance. In fact, if you go on and read through the other passages there that we've listed, Romans chapter 8, Hebrews chapter 2, I mean, it's amazing what you begin to discover. You begin to discover in Hebrews chapter 2 that Jesus calls us brothers now, that Jesus refers to us as his brethren. Before the Father, he confesses, these are my brethren. These are my brothers and sisters. And this is who we are. You talk about acceptance. You talk about a sense of belonging. When it refers in Ephesians chapter 3 to the whole family in heaven and earth, to be part of that family. So much so that in Ephesians chapter 1 it says that we are accepted in the beloved. That is, we are accepted in Jesus Christ. What an amazing blessing. And folks, it's all because of Christmas. It's all because God sent forth his son. So when the Apostle Paul referred to this in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 and 19, he says, for I reckon. Now, he's not a southerner. That's an old way of saying that. I reckon. I compute. I consider. I ponder this. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. Now, in its context, there are three groaning observers in that text. One of them is the earth itself, the creation. Every time there's an earthquake, every time there are serious troubles here on the earth and the earth begins to rumble in those earthquakes, just remember that all of creation is longing for something. And what is it they're longing for? They're longing for the revelation or the manifestation of the sons of God. Who's that? That's us. That's us as believers. What the Lord is showing us is that because of our Christmas adoption, that we might receive the adoption of sons and be heirs of God, all of creation is longing for that, groaning for that. It tells us that we ourselves are groaning. Not only is creation groaning, but Christians are groaning. And then the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, it says, with groanings which cannot be uttered. All of them longing and groaning for that beautiful day when the Lord will give us the realization of what you have heard preached about and taught about and you've read about on so many other occasions. If you were to go out on Christmas morning and see here is this amazing vehicle in your driveway with a beautiful bow on top, and it's exactly what you wanted. Now, I don't know a whole lot about cars. There are people in my family who know about cars way better than I do. Right, bud? I mean, that's the way it is, right? So you go out in the parking lot or out in the driveway and you see, oh, look, there's an Alfa Romeo or there's a Fettuccine Alfredo or, you know, there's some. And it's like that's exactly what you wanted. May I just say to you that that pales in comparison to what we are talking about today. We're not talking about something that's going to eventually rust out. Have you noticed that? That when you buy a new car or a used car, there's this tug of war that starts immediately. It's trying to get in the junkyard. You're trying to keep it out of the junkyard. I mean, have you noticed that? We're talking about eternal blessings. We're talking about an inheritance from God Himself. But I want you to pause to think about something this morning. It's one thing that you and I would say, well, that would be something to adopt a newborn right at Christmas time. Just imagine what that celebration is like every year in Pensacola. I wonder if it was a little girl, I wonder if they named her Eve, you know, for Christmas Eve. But there's something even more wonderful, if you'll stop to think about it. It's one thing to adopt a newborn, but what if instead this was the adoption of a surly teenager? A teenager who had been bitten and blasted by the bitterness of this world so that nobody wanted them. Nobody wanted to adopt them. Are you crazy? Would you consider adopting such a person? But if you would take your Bibles and go with me over to Romans chapter 3, I'd just like to show you the greatness of God's grace this morning. Stop to think with me about what Romans chapter 3, verses 10 through 24 is really telling us, and it's telling us about us. Beginning there in chapter 3 and verse 10, may I just walk down that passage and summarize it with you of what you're seeing there in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. It tells us that this one who will be adopted is not righteous, doesn't understand, doesn't seek after God in verse 11, is not profitable, doesn't do good things. No, Paul adds here in verse 12, no, not one of them, lest there be any confusion about that. According to verse 13, has speech like an open tomb. Just imagine that. I would imagine many of you in this room have smelled the dead body of an animal. Just imagine speech like an open tomb that is used deceptively like a serpent's poison, full of cursing and bitterness, verse 14, is murderous with ways full of destruction and misery, verse 16. It says, the way of peace they have not known, verse 17. Here's God. He sends the Prince of Peace. And in verse 17, the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes, verse 18. Can I just pause for a second to ask, do you see that as a characteristic of our society today, that there is no fear of God before their eyes? Think about the way this is being characterized. Think about the way that humanity is characterized here. Is it any wonder in verse 19 that the law of God shuts every mouth and all the world is guilty before God? So here's what the Lord did. By providing righteousness, your text says, apart from the law. In other words, by providing righteousness that was in no way attainable by the keeping of the law, by providing righteousness differently than that, God offered mankind redemption, and here it is, and adoption. Wow. You stop to think about what it would be. Would you adopt somebody like that? Would you adopt a surly teenager, somebody who is just bitter and angry and blasting and their speech is like an open tomb and serpent's poison? Would you adopt someone like that? I think every one of us in here would say, boy, I'd have huge questions. But this is exactly what the Lord did. He is very gracious to adopt humbled, repentant people who, yes, indeed, are like surly teenagers. This is an amazing Christmas adoption. So in this Christmas season, are you collaborating with anyone? You got any secrets going on? Have you agreed with someone else, hey, we're going to provide a present for someone else? Isn't that kind of fun? Isn't it fun to be in on the secret and collaborating together and anticipating the joy that you are going to bring to another. If you'll go back over to Galatians chapter 4, you can see there that it tells us that the work of the Trinity in chapter 4 and verse 6 is because you are sons. This is verse 6 of Galatians chapter 4. Because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. You say, what does this mean? God, this is obviously a reference to God the Father. God the Father sent the Holy Spirit, who is so closely identified with His Son that He is called the Spirit of His Son. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, God sent them all. And why does it tell you that He's done this in verse 6? That our hearts could cry out, Abba, Father. You know what it's like trying to teach a baby to talk. We have new little grandbaby, and we're always excited when we think we hear her say a word. Their dog's name is Greta, and, you know, they say, I guarantee you, I think she's saying Greta. I mean, it's always exciting to hear a baby learn a new word and be able to say those things. Do you see what God the Father has done here? He has sent forth the Spirit of His Son so that from our hearts we could know how to talk to God. Isn't that amazing? You talk about the gift that keeps on giving. That you and I would be able to cry from our hearts. That's exactly why that little girl knelt down in that Northwest Florida sand and put her hands together and prayed that God would give her teacher a baby. You see, that's what the Holy Spirit of God does. So when you think about your Christmas adoption and you think about what the Lord has done through every one of us, this is the marvel, that we are not only accepted in the Beloved, but that He is doing this great work through us even now, a great work of fellowship. It may be that in this Christmas season, you're missing some loved ones. I have to admit, as part of the preparation for this message, I started missing my mom and just thinking about her. So many times my mother would have to work on Christmas Day or Thanksgiving Day, and we would collaborate as a family, and she would figure out how to get somebody to sub for her for an hour or so, and we would dash over to Sacred Heart Hospital. She would jump in the car, and we'd run to Morrison's cafeteria, or sometimes we'd eat lunch right there in the hospital cafeteria. And that's when I began to realize that a lot of the medical people that are medical professionals, they don't get a lot of time on the holidays. Why? Well, because the needs are so urgent. They are pressing down upon them. It was always really tough when my mom did private duty that she would be with a patient for sometimes weeks. And many times it would be somebody with terminal cancer. And then we would find out that her patient had passed away. They trained my mom, told her, you cannot get personally involved with your patients. Yeah, right. You don't know my mom. And my mom would get very personally involved with her patients. And folks, every single time one of those patients would pass away, somebody she knew, somebody she'd been with for many weeks, it was like having a funeral around our home. I mean, mom would just be down and weeping and depressed. And it was just like we went through funeral after funeral. This is the kind of pressures that medical people face. I'm wondering what you and I could do for people like that, especially at this time of year and all year long. I'd like to talk to you about that because you and I have been so greatly blessed with our Christmas adoption and that we are now heirs of all things and that the Holy Spirit of God allows us to cry out to the Lord, Abba, Father, that I wonder if what you and I need to learn how to do is to use our Christmas adoption in the right way. Perhaps even that would result in the merriest Christmas ever. Just think about what you and I have been blessed with. The time of fullness marked the day when God sent forth his Son, of woman born and under law. Redemption's time had come, reversing that old curse for us, adopting us in love. The blessing of the Trinity, free grace from heaven above, joint heirs with Christ and Spirit-led, we praise the Trinity. For Abba, Father, now we cry. We're in God's family. We've heard the gospel word of truth, believing by his grace in his own precious promises for our accursed race. The promised Spirit seals us now for greater blessings still. God gives us an inheritance. The living Father's will. You see, God the Father didn't have to die to give us our inheritance. No, this is the living Father's will. What I just quoted to you is part of the hymn of adoption that we've placed on our website. I would encourage you in this Christmas season to go back and just really try to think through all that you and I have been blessed with. Because I want to assure you of something. I want to assure you that even the fanciest material gifts that you and I could be given or ever have been given are really mere trinkets. I can illustrate that for you. The Christmas before my daughter's senior year, I was preaching on this vein about the vanity of man, the emptiness of our gifts that we think, oh, I have to have this. I can almost guarantee you that every person in the room remembers, oh yeah, the Christmas when I had to have thee. And that particular year, the gift to have was an Elmo. Anybody remember Elmo? Remember Tickle Me Elmo? And remember, you know, Chicken Dance Elmo? And I'm telling you, in our high school chapel, we were laughing ourselves silly about Chicken Elmo. And then on that Christmas morning, I unwrapped a gift, and my daughter had given me a Chicken Elmo. And when I asked her about it, I said, so she goes, Dad, it was so much fun when you were talking in chapel about Chicken Elmo. And we were laughing so hard, she said, I decided right then I needed to give you a Chicken Elmo that year. And, you know, Chicken Elmo is pretty amazing here. And when you think about it over the years, I mean, how many people said, oh, I have to have this. I have to have this. And whoever even thinks about it anymore? You say, well, Pastor, you do because you've still got it. He's still in the box. He sits up in the closet in our family. He sits in the coat closet. For those of you come over to the house, we maybe even done this for you. He comes over, when you come over, we'll say, oh, by the way, you want to hear? And we'll go up and we'll actually, you know, hit the button once or twice a year just to let everybody know that, you know, Chicken Elmo is right there. How many chicken-type Elmos have you looked at in your past and thought, oh, I have to have this? Now, for those of you who are younger, just so you know, even the splashiest, flashiest thing you think you could ever get turns out to be empty after a while. Yeah, but if I get my driver's license, yeah, you get your driver's license and everybody wants you to run errands. Can I get an amen on that? Isn't that the way it is? Yeah, that's the way it is. So what I'm asking you today is, when you recognize that so many other things that materially that we have been given are mere trinkets when compared with the amazing benefits of what you and I have been given, I wonder if we should be different. So I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes about blessing others with our Christmas adoption. It was a young lady who had been adopted as a mere infant in West Virginia. Her name was Sarah. Adoptive name was Culberson, C-U-L-B-E-R-S-O-N. And Sarah grew up into her 20s, early 30s, and she made up her mind, I really want to go back and I want to find out something about my birth parents. She loved her parents. In fact, later on in this story, I'll tell you more about her parents and how supportive they were. But she said, I'd like to go back and find out about my birth parents. And that's when she found out that her mother had passed away. But the more she traced, she recognized something. Her father was alive and well in the African country of Sierra Leone. That is just north of Liberia, right there on the western coast of Africa. She realized something more. Her father was a paramount chief in the Mende tribe there in, I'm not sure if it's pronounced Bump or Bumpay. And that's when she realized, as she made the connection, they thought of her as a princess. Now, for ladies here in the room and little girls here in the room, wouldn't that be something? I mean, to find out that you yourself, because of your lineage, are actually a princess. And so here's what Sarah did. She went with her adoptive parents, the Culbersons. I linked to this article, and you can look at it online on NBC News. She actually went to Sierra Leone to meet the family that she never knew she had. Now, this position as princess came with no wealth, especially not in Sierra Leone. I mean, they had been war-torn, civil wars, very much like Liberia. They had just been a war-torn country. And so Sarah didn't receive wealth as a result of this, but she did get something that's far more important when she made that visit. She got a sense of responsibility to those people, to her family members, to her native land. She recognized that as an American citizen, there were things that she could do that they could not do for themselves. May I point out that as you and I recognize our Christmas adoption, that we are joint heirs with Christ, that Jesus calls us brothers now, that we could go to the throne of grace and we have free access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We have free access to go before the throne of grace to obtain mercies and ask for grace to help in time of need. Can you see how our Christmas adoption infuses us with the same sense of responsibility? There are people all around us who are hurting. They have no idea how to overcome an opioid addiction. They have no access to any power to be able to change their circumstances. They are very much like what I identified a few moments ago as surly teenagers in Romans chapter 3. But think about it. You and I have been blessed with a Christmas adoption as heirs of God. And from our hearts, the Holy Spirit has put into our hearts to cry out, Abba, Father. Abba is the Hebrew word for father. Av, Abba, Father. You and I have an amazing privilege to go before our Heavenly Father. And here's what it says in Romans chapter 8. He that spared not his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Look, Alfa Romeos and Chicken Dance Elmo means nothing when you stop to think about how lives could be changed because God's people begin to exercise the privileges of their Christmas adoption and really pray. Now, the pastors and deacons talked this over on Wednesday evening. Here is what we are observing. We're observing that in this most recent health crisis and all that has gone on, there was initially a very strong community sentiment to help those who were in the medical profession, in the healthcare industry. There was just a groundswell of support. But here's what's happened. The COVID restrictions, quite frankly, the anger that some people are feeling and the frustration they are feeling over this whole situation. Well, the result has been that sometimes they vent their spleens on these medical professionals. I mean, you just haven't lived until Mr. Potshot vents his spleen, right? I mean, that it's just really hard to go through this. And I speak to you as the child of a medical professional who saw and understood a lot of the frustrations that we're talking about. So here's an idea. What if you and I, in this new year, what if we took it on as a prayer project? Now, you're going to hear this reflected in the next 2, 3, 4 messages on this matter of prayer. You see, we're coming to Daniel 9. Daniel 9 is the prayer, the magnificent prayer of Daniel. Lord willing, next Sunday we're going to look briefly and just do a recap and especially talk about some of the prayers that you see there in Daniel. What if you and I, knowing what we have learned this morning, really grasping what we have learned this morning about our Christmas adoption, what if we now made up our minds? You know what we want to do? We want to bless others with our Christmas adoptions. I ask you 2 questions at the beginning of the message. What's the greatest Christmas gift you have ever received? And what is the greatest Christmas gift that you could give to someone? There have been times when people have talked to me and they are very, very frustrated with situations and it's been troublesome because they just don't see a way out. And I've said, okay, can we agree together? Let's just pray about this. Can we covenant together? We're going to pray about this situation. I didn't have a magic wand. I didn't have a button I could push. The only thing I could really do is pray and ask them if they would pray. One time recently, somebody contacted me and said, I don't believe this. Here's a problem. Here's a situation that seems intractable, unchangeable. I mean, it's been going on for quite some time. 4 days later, it turned because we had agreed to pray. Dear friends, I'm wondering if it wouldn't be the very same way for all of us. If you and I would gain a new seriousness about the matter of prayer, how could we be used as an instrument of change in this community and worldwide? What if people knew if you can get that congregation to pray for you and those people get serious about praying, things happen? One of the criticisms, part of the murmuring that occurred in the children of Israel, with the children of Israel and with Moses, was this question. Is God among us? Not really now. Is God among us? Isn't that question something that we ought to be asking as a congregation? I mean, do we just do what we do out of, you know, tradition, and we're just like religious? Or does God really answer our prayers? And if he really does answer our prayers, how could you and I be used to pray for people right here in our community? Our pastors and deacons are recommending that if you know of someone who's a medical professional right now, that you would reach out to them and say, hey, we would like to take the opportunity as a congregation to pray for you. How might we pray for you in the middle of this health crisis? And folks, if you and I could be like that little girl who knelt down in the sand in Northwest Florida and prayed that her teacher would receive a baby for Christmas, I believe the Lord could do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think if we would determine that we are going to bless others with our Christmas adoption. Shall we pray together? Lord, what a tremendous blessing it is to us to think in these terms, to recognize that we have been so greatly blessed, more than any princess ever will be, more than any vehicle we will ever receive, more than any empty chicken Elmo type stuff in this world. Lord, you have blessed us exceedingly abundantly. And so, Lord, I ask now that you would help us to take on with a new sense of responsibility to understand how we could be used in this community by praying. Lord, this year, it just won't work for us to take a plate of cookies anywhere. There are so many restrictions on us. But Lord, I do pray that you would help us to reach out, to be people who bless others and bless them because we have been adopted at Christmas time. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.